At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So it says that they sojourned. Sojourned means basically this. It's also used of like you're staying in a hotel, lodging overnight. It's temporary. They're going to go there and dwell temporarily. 10 years later. You ever do that? I really didn't intend for this to last this long, okay? But it happens that way. But I have to ask this question. This would be an interpretive question. Why did they leave Bethlehem? Or in particular, why did Elimelech leave Bethlehem? Well, because of famine. So why leave? What's the problem? He's afraid his family is going to starve. Fear was his motive. Have you ever been there? Yeah, when my dad passed out on the floor this last week, fear hit me pretty good. Okay, mama too. So I understand that, and you respond differently when you're, and especially you mamas, okay? Mamas, and you think about your kids having a hard time, you don't do well with that. So dad would say, "They're your punishment tonight is to go to bed without dinner." And mom's going, "You can't let them go to bed without, they got to eat, the poor little things." Okay, the difference there. But here, the dad's, now if the dad's to the point where he's afraid the kid's going to starve, I wonder where mama is. Wonder what Naomi's working with. All right, so I would have liked to have told Elimelech this myself. You know, affliction is the school of faith. Or in adversity, this is sort of a sports thing I would tell my guys when I was coaching. In adversity, you find out who you really are. If that's the case, what does this tell me about Elimelech, who's God, is king? We don't find, and I'm not saying other people didn't, but in all of Judges, we don't find the other people leaving in famine. They hung and sort of fought it out. And if you remember, Gideon hiding in the threshing floor so people didn't steal his food, he didn't run in that sense. He stayed there. He hid in the threshing floor. But he didn't leave to go find food. It has to tell me, though, this famine also had to be pretty extensive because he just didn't go north in Israel or south in Israel to one of the other tribes. They actually left the area. Okay? And then we read in 3 through 5, that Elimelech dies. Now, wait a minute. Why did they leave Bethlehem? To keep from dying. Sort of ironic that you're trying to keep yourself alive and you end up dead. I'm not going to preach that at the moment. And so while there, though, her boys, marry these Moabite women. By the way, Ruth means friendship or desirable, because friendship is desirable. And Orpah means gazelle. So you have a sickly guy married to a desirable person, and a wasting way person married to a gazelle. They almost, opposites always attract. I guess the names too. Okay. Now, if you went to Deuteronomy 23, and I think I have a slide for this. I hope I do. No Amorite, no Moabite, and any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even until the 10th generation. Boaz, by the way, you've got, I think it's 10 generations from Adam to Noah, 10 generations from Noah to Abraham, 10 generations from Abraham to Boaz. When we get to Boaz, you'll see that. So they stay there 10 years, and in that amount of time, Naomi loses every man she ever loved. Think about moms, wives. Imagine losing your husband and your sons. Those are the only children we know of that she had. She lost all of her children and her husband. Everything she was relying on for provision in their culture, that's the way it worked. In our culture, when mom and dad get old, we send them off to a home. In their culture, you didn't do that. You brought mom and dad into the house and you took care of them in their old age. Her provision, why did they leave Bethlehem? Afraid there was no provision. They go over here to get provision. Along the way, she loses everything that is her provision. You ever made plans that didn't work out? You ever thought that job, you leave this job to take that job because that was going to be in the answer, and then X amount of time, you get a pink slip. If you'd have known that, you'd have kept the first job, right? I remember when I went to plant a church in Arizona, and to get out of there, I don't want to make it sound that negative, but I had to borrow money to move away from there. In my view, it was just a complete disaster. And I ended up living with my in-laws for 10 months, but after that's how I ended up in Idaho. So God was even in my stupid, or at least what I thought was stupid. But she loses her man, her men, not once, not twice, three times. Now, I did a funeral yesterday. Some of you were there. Imagine being the key person, the funeral first for your husband, then a funeral for your son, then a funeral for your son, and everybody's looking at you like they did Job. What are you doing wrong? Because that's the way their culture thought. It's sort of like the Kennedys. Those of us who are old enough to remember. You have the two brothers killed then you have John Jr. die in the plane crash. Remember a few years back, and everybody goes, oh, this poor family. All right? Just when she thought it couldn't get worse, it did. Husband, then son, then another son. I'm out of here. You know what? I'm gone. This isn't working out. Every time I think there's a way, a provision, a way out, it falters. But here's the difficulty, is pain doesn't come alone. It comes with an intense desire to make sense of the pain. I get this all the time. Why? But this happened, Pastor Randy, God, why? Why? We just get that desire when pain comes. Why is this happening to me? Why did God do this? And we see this in Orpah's or in Naomi's words. It is feeling like a victim. Like things are happening to you, you can't control. If you've ever had your house broke into, nobody got hurt. They just took some stuff. But you feel very violated, like a victim. It was out of your control. Watching my dad this week, I felt very much out of control. But I resisted asking why, okay? At that point, when these things are happening in your life, you don't feel safe even to make a decision. If you've ever been there, this week, Mom and I had to make some decisions. We didn't want to make decisions. We're not sure what was going to happen next. Now, I don't know if you've ever been. I'm sure you've been there. The hurt has come, and some time has passed, but you still can't go to church. I don't know if I could take that risk again. Or a divorce. I'm not ready to love again. Okay? Those kind of things happen in life. How many of you have been out of work before for an extended period of time? Don't raise your hand. After you've done job interview and application, what do you go? I don't even want to go apply. So your wife has to get you off your derriere and get you out the door applying for jobs because it's defeating. You know, you've been rejected so many times, and that's just a job. That's not a loss of someone you love, but I can't do anything else. But Naomi's in the field. Now, this tells me something. Whose field is she in? Don't know. Somewhere along the way, though, I don't know if the Moabites had the idea of gleaning, like the Israelites did. But somehow she was in a field around other workers. Now, it's probably this way. Since she's an immigrant, she was a migrant farm worker. You know what I'm saying? It was probably like a slave or a bond servant where she had to work a field just to get enough sustenance to live on. And while she's out there, she hears the rumor that the famine is over in Bethlehem and there's food there. And so she rises and gets up to leave, and the daughter-in-laws are going with her. I know that seems strange to us, but culture was different there. I'm not going into breaking that down, okay? It says that she was bitter. We'll see that later. So I see a word used twice. And matter of fact, she called later in verses 20 and 21, Naomi calls herself this. Naomi means pleasant. And when she gets to Bethlehem later, we'll cover more of that next week. They say, oh, it's nice to see you back, Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Because she says, I went away full and I came back empty. Anybody catch the significance of that statement? Why did they leave? Because there's nothing there. But after she went through real pain, she recognized, I went away full. Think about that, okay? Because we'll touch back on that. And so the daughter-in-law start to follow her, and then we see this contrast with the word but in verse 8. They wanted to follow her, but. Now, contrasted to that, Naomi then begins to convince these ladies, please don't come with me. Because I'm a bad luck charm. That's what it's come down to. She feels like she has nothing to offer them. Then if you go with me, you're just going to be single and have no provision. You might as well, what they say is, she says, go home to your mother's house. Then I ask that you find rest in the house of your husband's. Mother's house. Those are two different houses. So this is what many commentators and scholars feel. Go get comfort from mom, and then go to your husband's house for provision. Because that's the way their culture worked. It's your husband and his family. Just like in this case, you'll see, it is Naomi's husband's family that steps into the picture. So many scholars say, why the mother thing? Because mama understands. Oh, come on. You, most people... When you want a shoulder to cry on and a good hug, you go to mom. Dad just asks, where you bleeding? I don't know why it works that way. It may not be that way in your family, but it often is that way. Okay? And then she tries to explain to him, why would you go with me anyway? I'm too old to have kids. And let's say for some miracle I do have kids. Are you going to wait around 20 years till they're old enough to marry? Do you understand the implications of going with me? There is nothing for you and for me in Bethlehem. And she uses this thing. The hand of the Lord is against me. There's only one thing these three ladies had in common. What is it? All have dead husbands. Their common denominator is pain. And if that's how we're connected, we don't need to continue. Because the only thing ahead for me, as Naomi's saying, is more pain. For her, it's begging when she gets there, trying to find a way to get provision. I personally, and this is just me personally, there's nothing wrong with it, okay? But there are people who have been blessed to live Ozzie and Harriet Leave It to Beaver lives. And that's a blessing. My wife grew up that way, okay? But it is hard for me, for you, to give me advice in my pain if you've never been hurt. If you had 10 pair of shoes and I scraped by to get one and then they wore out, don't tell me how nice it is to walk barefooted. For me, I want somebody who's been through a little something that can carry me, can speak to me, in that time, okay? Because I've learned more about God in my struggles than I ever have in my successes. It is those difficult times. We see that all through Scripture. Moses thinks he's got it all figured out, but you go live on the backside of the desert for a while, and then you finally figure out who God is as he appears to you in a burning bush, okay? If you do look at my successes, you will see they are made of the ingredients of my suffering. Now, I know those are sort of catchy phrases. They're actually phrases from my life lessons journal. But I would not be here where I am today if I did not break my back. It altered my thinking and my faith. Whitney Phelps, who's an African-American fellow who sings, said this, the greatest gifts are, God's greatest gifts are given in the quiet crucible
of your personal private suffering. That was just good. I had to write that down. See, if you're going to give unto me, speak into my life, I want to know you've been given something to give to me. And most often, those things come in those moments of pain and difficulty and suffering. We'll get to the book of Job, and you'll figure that one out. And let me give you an example of one out of Matthew chapter 26. Now, I don't expect you to answer this, ladies, okay? But I want you to think, what would bring a woman to the point where she sells her body? I imagine you can go all kinds of places. What would bring a woman to the point where she would sell herself to various men night after night? We go to Matthew chapter 26. This woman's lived a life of, I would say, pain. I'm not a lady, but I imagine it's a painful life. But she hears of the man Jesus, and you know the story, where she works her way into the house and anoints Jesus' feet. Some argue whether it's the same story in his head. Okay, I think they're two different stories. She breaks the alabaster box of this great perfume, right? This very expensive perfume, all right? And the disciples say this in verse 8. And the disciples were indignant when they saw this. Why this waste? For this perfume, they got religious. This perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. Here she comes to worship at the feet of Christ and someone criticizes her praise. The problem is, the disciples don't know where she came from. And if you remember what Jesus says to this story, and he tells the story and gives a little parable, for the one who has been forgiven much. They didn't know the cost of the oil in that alabaster box. Anybody know that song? C.C. Winan. Years of loneliness, guilt, confusion, pain, all the things she endured. How did she earn the money to buy the perfume? And she dumps it on Jesus. Oh, come on, that'll preach. All the misery and pain in your life, but by your own stupid, by your own mistakes, the suffering you bring it, just lay it at Jesus' feet and watch what happens. And here's how you do that. Open up your mouth and praise. Praise can't be done silent. Okay, it's not one of those things that you can think. Praise and worship is done with the mouth. Nobody else in that room had understood her struggle. And I would imagine nobody understood Naomi's either, or very few. But let me tell you, please never judge someone else's worship. Never judge someone else's worship, how they do it. If they start to dance, you don't know what their week was. If they sat there in solemn quietness, you don't know what's happening. You don't know what's in their mind. Don't judge other people's praise. I'm going to use Christ as an example. Remember, she said, the hand of the Lord is against me. I will take you to Psalms 22, and you might recognize the first line. My God, why have you forsaken me? Where else do we find that? The cross of Christ, okay? As Jesus describes, because this is prophetic, Jesus says it on the cross, and he talks about the difficulty. He says, God, you're not hearing me. I cry out, and you're not answering. Then we get to verse 16, and he says this, the dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare at me and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them, and they cast lots for my garment. If you know anything about the cross, besides the hands and the nails, his bones were not to be broken, and they literally sat at the feet of the cross, gambling for his clothes. What is our Savior's response in this prophetic typology and pattern? Because if you can't see the pattern in this and how it plays out in the antitype and in Christ's cross, listen how Christ responds. He feels, notice it, he feels like God's abandoned him. But if you read the rest of Psalms, he goes, but I know you didn't. So please don't let anybody preach at you that God turned his back on his own son because of the sins of the world was on him. just take them to Psalms 22, give them a good hermeneutic lesson, and teach them that's not the case. Because if God has to turn his back on his own son, he has no problem turning his back on me. And we know he can't do that, for he is faithful. It is outside his ability to abandon his loved ones. I'm going to keep going. So this is what Jesus says, or Psalms 22 says, verse 25. From you comes the theme of my praise. Wait a minute. They're sticking nails in your hands, your feet, a crown of thorns. They're right there. They don't give a care about you. They're gambling for your clothes. And this is what you say? From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. He doesn't say, come the theme of my praise because I'm so down and defeated, I just stay home. He says, in the assembly I will praise. When? When the dogs are surrounding me, when they're mocking me, when they're staring at me, when life's not good. Here's the problem, people. When life's not good, when you're Naomi, I'm leaving. It's the opposite of what we need, is when life's hard and I see people missing from the assembly, I go, uh-oh. Because you're not drawing upon that strength that God gives. But anyway, praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you in the assembly, I will fulfill my vows. Wait a minute, you're the guy hanging on a cross. In the middle of the mess, I'll keep my promises. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and return to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations, even the one that's crucifying him. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust, die, will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Why did she leave? To keep themselves alive, and everybody's gone but her? Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about our Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, it is finished. Christ is our example at the moment when he felt like his own father abandoned him, when everything was lost. When everyone was, when his own disciple, he looked at him and watched him curse him. When everyone abandoned him, when he's feeling alone, where does Christ turn? To the praise and the worship of his God. In your moment of adversity, and trust me, I had the opportunity this week just to look at my mama and go on a string of praise. To lay there, my dad laid in the bed, to open Psalms and just read the Psalms and watch comfort come to the room and the nurse stand there in dead silence and eyes this big. So I ask her, have you always wanted to be a nurse? Yes, why? Well, I wanted to help meet people. I ask you, Cora, I ask you this question. Is there a greater reason where God made you a nurse? Well, and we began to share, and when we're done, she recognized God made her a nurse so she can carry the name of Christ and give glory to God in hospital rooms. It wasn't just to be a nurse and make an income. But I had to practice this week. Amen. On 2 hours sleep, night after night. Just to lift up the name of my God. Watch him strengthen my physical body. Watch him lift up my emotions, my spirit, that I might be able to therefore minister to someone who's in greater need than I was. See, I was full even though I felt empty. I had something. See, Naomi's going, I got nothing to give you. You're missing it, girl. If you would just begin to praise your God there, you will be surprised what you still have, even though everything around you is famine and death. There is still a Christ who came to save you and redeem you, that bought you with his blood, that will carry you in the midst of that struggle. I believe that's one of the reasons Jesus in particular said about Peter, the guy who was, look, Christ made eye contact with when the scripture said, when he cursed him the third time. And when he gets out of the tomb, he says, tell Peter. Tell Peter. Why, Peter? I'm your strength. period. I know you thought I was gone and abandoned you and left you alone, but dude, that is not possible. It is not possible for God not to hear your prayers. It is not possible for God to abandon you. It is not possible for God to give up his plan on you. It's not possible for you to use up all of his grace or all his mercies. They're renewed every morning anyway. Oh, but we don't understand. I lived like this. I did that. I know. But I don't care how long you sin. You will never outdo God's grace. It is impossible. I know you can go leave to a pagan land where they worship idols and kill babies. That's our country, isn't it? Anyway, and kill babies. And everything go around you go bad where you think, you feel like he left you. But we will see in the weeks to come the divine providence of God in the middle of that mess. Because God had something for Naomi. At this point in the story, she was clueless. And it comes through an ungodly source. Let's stand. Lord, I thank you that you are our example. That hundreds of years before the cross, you laid out in Psalms what we do when the bulls of Bashan surround us, when our enemies mock us, when our bodies are in pain and our emotions have overwhelmed us. You showed us, God, what we do. We declare your greatness among the people. We will declare your goodness even to a generation yet unborn. Father, the impact that a praising heart, that a worshiping mouth has on the next generation. God, teach us to lift up your name as we go through the trial, and therefore we mock the enemy. Be glorified as we struggle, O God, I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.